How are you? Are you okay? How are you surviving the spectre of coronavirus over the last few months? It's certainly changed our lives in many ways, maybe less for us here than in other parts of Australia, indeed across the world. Many people have found that change stressful. In the media, there's been a lot of talk about mental health. You know, seen advertisements of where you can get assistance. Many people find meaning and purpose for their lives in their everyday activities, going to work, socializing with friends, connecting with family near and far, playing sport, engaging in outdoor activities like fishing. All these are good, and they make our lives worth living. But what happens when we are not able to do these things? What happens to our understanding of the meaning and the purpose of our lives if these things are not available to us to provide meaning and purpose? What happens? We are in crisis. And there are people in this current situation who are truly in crisis, because of the restrictions that have been placed upon them. Particularly younger people, I think, who are fit and able and actively out and about. When you get older, you tend not to be able to do those things, so you get used to the fact. Some people have actually said they've enjoyed the time of being locked in at home. But it's mainly among younger people that I think this crisis has developed, because they have found meaning and purpose in their daily activities. They're socializing with friends, their outdoor activities, they're playing sport. I heard that in Queensland Lifeline, Good Friday was the most active, the most called upon day in the whole career, this Good Friday this year. People are reaching out, because they're in crisis, they're struggling, their mental health is in crisis. But what is hardly ever talked about is spiritual health. So we're hearing a lot about mental health. People are aware of the issues and they're aware of places to go. But what about our spiritual health? There was one news item last week on the ABC that told of a uni student who was finding life difficult, but then began, through the support of her friends from uni, to read the Bible. And that was giving her great comfort and strength. And as these days the ABC has to be balanced in its presented, there was also the story of a Jewish woman and also a Buddhist who were finding strength from their faith. But that's the only time I've heard anything that vaguely refers to our spiritual health. Writing to the Christians in Rome, the Apostle Paul made a distinction between flesh and spirit when talking about how we live our lives. To live by the flesh is to follow our human nature, satisfying our desires and finding meaning and purpose in our human relationships and in our human activities. To live by the Spirit is to live in relationship with God through Jesus Christ, seeking to satisfy what God desires for us. Now, there must have been a breakdown of communication or something. It was probably me, and I slipped to the wrong Old Testament reading. It's great to hear about the patriarchs and Abraham, but I wanted us to hear this morning about Jacob. So I'll just read this passage, which comes on a bit further in Genesis. We go from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob. And it's about Jacob's dream at Bethel. Jacob left Beersheba and started towards Haran. At sunset, he came to a holy place and camped there. He lay down to sleep, resting his head on a stone. He dreamed that he saw a stairway reaching from earth to heaven, and angels going up and down, coming and going on it. And there was the Lord standing beside him. I am the Lord, the God of Abraham and Isaac, he said. I will give to you and to your descendants this land on which you are lying. They will be as numerous as the dust, as the specks of dust on the earth. They will extend their territory in all directions. And through you and your descendants, I will bless all the nations. Remember, I will be with you and protect you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Jacob woke up and said, the Lord is here. He is in this place and I didn't know it. He was afraid and said, what a terrifying place this is. It must be the house of God. It must be the gate that opens into heaven. So Jacob got up early the next morning, took the stone that was under his head and set it up as a memorial. Then he poured olive oil on it to dedicate it to God. He named that place Bethel. You're probably familiar with the story of Jacob. This particular incident occurs in probably the middle of his life, but it's a turning point in his life, because up to this point Jacob is seeking to satisfy his own desires. Remember the story about how he tricked his father into giving him the blessing, and he tricked his brother, his twin brother, who was just that little bit older than him, out of his inheritance. He tricked Esau out of his inheritance. Remember that, when he brought the meal to his father Isaac, and he got the blessing instead of Esau. And of course Esau was very angry about this. So in the story that we read, at this part of the story, Jacob has been sent away by his father. He doesn't want him to marry one of the local girls. He wants him to go back to his ancestral lands. And on his way to his father's ancestral land to find a wife, and of course escape from his brother Esau, it was good to be a long way away from his brother at this particular time, Jacob has this spiritual encounter one night as he sleeps. God assures him that despite everything he has done, he has a bright future and God will always be with him. With that assurance, Jacob travels on, and the rest, as they say, is history. Jacob was renamed Israel and had 12 sons who were the patriarchs of the 12 tribes of Israel. So this encounter with God gives him hope and adds a whole new dimension to his life. But as with the patriarchs, and indeed all the characters that we read about in scriptures, even with the Spirit of God, life for us is a mixed bag, or a mixed field, to follow Jesus' parable of the wheat and the weeds. Our lives, both internally and externally, are a mix of good and bad. Having faith is no guarantee that we won't get coronavirus. And indeed, there are many good Christians who have been suffering from it and who have died from it. It's a mistake for us to pretend we can avoid the evil. It's a mistake to divide the world into good people and bad people, judging others in that way. We should leave that to God. For as Paul writes, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The good and evil is within all of us. But the good news is that we're not saved by always being good. We are saved by the grace of God through trusting in Jesus Christ. Now that doesn't mean, as Paul argues in other places, that we should not strive to do the good. But as Paul points out in his letter to the Romans, the good we want to do, we do not always do, and the evil we do not want to do, we sometimes do. And then he concludes that part when he says, what a miserable person I am. Who will deliver me? And he replies, thanks be to God, Jesus will deliver me. Not only are we as individuals a field of good and evil, the whole world is. So the world around us does not always treat us well. This year, it seems to be having a real go at treating us badly across the world, everywhere, in the middle of this pandemic. even with the Spirit of God, we suffer, as Paul talks about, with the rest of humanity. That is what life, human life, is like. So if we put our hope in the flesh and our ability to satisfy our human desires ourselves, to find hope and meaning within the things that we do ourselves, then if you take the long view, life is hopeless, because situations that we're facing at the moment happen, and for all of us, death comes. Our life of the flesh comes to an end. So when you think about it, it is hopeless to put our trust, our meaning and our purpose in the life of the flesh, our daily desires. All our desires will not be met. A lot of bad things can happen to us. And if those activities that satisfy our human desires are denied to us, then it's understandable that we can be depressed and begin to see life as hopeless. Mental health can go a long way in helping us to deal with some of the issues. But in the end, hope is found through life in the Spirit. Life in the Spirit offers us a different perspective on life. There is hope because we belong to God, and God is eternal. We are destined for something greater than a life that is falling apart, a life that is confined, a life that is locked down. We are promised a bright future. There is hope, even when things look bleak. I referred in the prayer to Peter as he stepped out on the water through that chaotic situation. For Jesus, he looked down, there was no hope. He could only see himself sinking. But when he looked up, when he reached out, when he connected with Jesus, there was hope. He was saved. Same for us. When we connect with Jesus, the Spirit of God is in us. When we are children of God, people of God, then there is hope. What the future will be may not be apparent to us now. We may well have to go through trying times that are hard to deal with, whether it be in a communal sense, who knows what the future holds. We thought we were coming out of it here in Australia, and then in Victoria it all falls apart. Let's hope it doesn't happen here, but it could. We need to be prepared. We have to wait to see what God has in store for us in the long term. We have hope. And that is the vital aspect of life in the Spirit that helps us overcome the disappointments and the losses that are inevitably part of human life. We have hope in God's good future for us. And with hope, we wait for it. Paul's image of childbirth is most powerful. I can't talk of the pain of giving birth that a woman has to endure. But if we focused only on the pain and the future, and not the future outcome of that pain, then there would be no births. Think about that. It's through pain that new life comes. And this is Paul's message in Romans, that we need to endure the pain, and sometimes can be very difficult, the pain of this life, for the promise of the life to come. We can face our present situation, no matter how painful it might be, with hope, this precious gift from God. So, are you spiritually healthy? Are you spiritually healthy? Are you getting the spiritual food that you need through worship, reading and study of the Scriptures, through prayer, through keeping that connection with God? The Spirit witnesses to your spirit that you are children of God, you are a child of God. For life in the Spirit gives hope. It rescues us from despair and anxiety. Not that those things aren't a part and can be a part of Christian life, but they're not the final part. They're not the last word. Hope, faith, love, these great gifts from God are the last word. For as Jacob discovered, through the Spirit, God is always with us, no matter where we are, no matter what's happened in our lives, no matter what we've done. God is always with us. That's God's promise, which is sure. God is always with us, guiding us into God's promised future. The road may be rough, it may be difficult, it may be painful, but with hope, eventually, in God's good time, God's promised future will arrive for us. Let us go forward then, waiting in hope. Amen.